Hello and welcome to the Radio Thrift Shop. I'm DJ Frederick. We are digging through the crates for some scratchy 78s, 45s, LPs, cassettes, and even compact discs. Along the way, we'll discover some classic rock and pop, jazz, exotica, soul, folk, acoustic, folk rock, indie pop, lo-fi, psychedelic, jam bands, library music, easy listening, and just about everything else that tickles my ears. Hopefully it all makes sense by the end of the hour. Thank you for coming on this journey of homegrown, homemade radio. And saying hello to listeners on WSCS 90.9 FM in New London, New Hampshire, and at WMNBLP 107.1 in North Adams, Mass. Now, frequently there are musical documentaries or radio documentaries here at the Radio Thrift Shop. Coming up in this hour, we're going to hear part two of WHER 1000 Beautiful Watts, the first all-women's radio station in the United States. So stay tuned.
Makes me feel fine, blowing through the jasmine in my mind. Exploring Science in the Sea. If you're spending an afternoon on your favorite bay, you probably don't want to see any sharks gliding through the water. But the bay itself just might. Without sharks, the ecosystem can change in ways that can be bad for the bay and anyone living near it. Researchers studied how that might play out in Shark Bay on the western tip of Australia. Seagrass carpets about 1,500 square miles of the bay floor. It acts as a buffer against storms, provides habitat for marine life, and filters the water. It also provides food for the sea cows, known as dugongs. Shark Bay also is home to lots of sharks, especially tiger sharks. They spend the summer in the bay, then migrate elsewhere for winter. The dugong munch on the seagrass mainly when the sharks are away. A major heat wave in 2011 killed off some of the seagrass. The main species grows slowly, so the beds take a long time to recover. A species of grass that's more resistant to heat began filling in, but it's not as helpful. Scientists decided to check out what might happen if there were no sharks around and the dugongs could feed on the good seagrass all year. The scientists removed some of the seagrass from the bay floor, an imitation of conditions with year-round feeding. The good seagrass didn't recover at all, while the replacement species did well. So without the sharks to keep the dugong in check, the bay might not recover from its earlier trauma. Bad news for the bay and its residents, including people. Science in the Sea is a production of the University of Texas Marine Science Institute and is on the web at scienceinthesea.org. I'm Holly Brawley.
We're playing the most variety from the past century of recorded sound. I'm DJ Frederick, and you're listening to Radio Thrift Shop.
Radiotopia.
Welcome to Fugitive Waves.
PRX.
If you're listening to Jane on your all-girl station, 6 minutes before 1 o'clock.
People started burning things and throwing things, and marches were happening, and marches had been happening, you know, peaceful, you know, demonstration marches, but these were angry marches. And Charlie would give us our little tape recorder and say, they're going to have a march on Beale Street this afternoon. Will you go and get a news report? And, of course, we all wanted to go.
We were on the air when people were calling to get interviews, you know, to find out what was going on. Of course, they chose us last because we didn't have any guys. You know, it was all women.
We were not known to be sharp broadcasters. We were lady disc jockeys. But even our station started having calls from all over the world. I'll never forget being on the air and some station in Australia calling me and wanting a report at that moment. So I ad-libbed a report.
Today on Fugitive Waves, part two of WHER 10,000 Beautiful Watts, the first all-girl station in the nation, moves into the 1960s. But first, we want to talk about Radiotopia. About a year and a half ago, we were invited to become part of an experiment, Radiotopia, a collective of podcasts curated, handpicked, by PRX and award-winning producer Roman Mars of 99% Invisible. We had talked about doing a Kitchen Sisters podcast for a long time. Davey and I have been producing together for public radio for years. But if it hadn't been for Radiotopia and the encouragement of this talented group of audio storytellers, we'd still just be talking. We love working with these people. Radiotopia, across the board, we've got this motley crew of independent producers banding together and sharing their talents and resources. We've got the vision and energy of PRX helping us push it out there and develop a sustainable model for producing our work. And we've got you, an engaged and enthusiastic listening audience that is supporting us in so many ways. So how do we keep this going? A Kickstarter is great once, twice, and as we saw last year, even three times. It was the most successful journalism campaign in Kickstarter history. And we thank you for that. And thanks to all of you who pitched in. But it's really not a sustainable model. We can't keep doing that year after year. So we're trying a new approach, fashioned kind of on the model of Netflix and HBO. Listeners commit to donating a little bit of money to Radiotopia monthly, which allows us to know that there's a dependable stream of money coming in, which allows us to concentrate on creating great shows. So we're asking you to consider committing a little bit of money a month. $4, $5, $20, $100, or you can give in a lump sum. Our Radiotopia shows have millions of monthly listeners. What if everybody gave a few dollars a month? It's a bold, grassroots approach, and we think it can work. In fact, it's proving itself as we speak. In the first week of this campaign, more than 5,000 people contributed to Radiotopia, surpassing the challenge set forth by Slack. Slack is a messaging app for teams. It's a great way to communicate with lots of people, and they're supporting us big time. In fact, Slack is how the 13 shows that make up Radiotopia communicate with each other. So Slack offered Radiotopia $25,000 if we got 5,000 contributors in 1 week, which we did. So Slack came back at us. Now they're offering $50,000 more if we get a total of 15,000 donors during this month-long campaign. There's a continual chatter on the Slack channel here at Radiotopia. Everyone's so excited to see how many people are taking part. We're asking you to help us reach our goal of 15,000 supporters. Go to radiotopia.fm and hit the contribute button. Support Fugitive Waves, The Kitchen Sisters, and all of the Radiotopia shows. And thanks to our sponsor, who is also helping to keep Fugitive Waves and Radiotopia alive and well. Fugitive Waves is supported by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price. Casper's mattress is one of a kind. It's a new hybrid mattress that combines premium latex foam with memory foam, with prices ranging from $500 for a twin-sized mattress to $950 for a king-sized. Casper headquarters is located just a few blocks from our studio in San Francisco. One of our friends went to an open house there and found out that Casper views sleep deficit as a societal problem. They have stats about how the number of hours people actually sleep each night is in decline. We're with you on that one, Casper. But Casper's working on it, making a bed so comfortable that you'll want to spend more time in it, and more affordable so you won't lose sleep over investing in a new mattress. Fugitive Waves listeners can get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting www.casper.com/waves and using promo code WAVES at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. Casper offers free delivery and returns within a 100-day period. Now let's get back to the story of WHER, 1,000 Beautiful Watts.
Welcome to Fugitive Waves. Lost recordings and shards of sound, along with new tales of remarkable people from around the world. We're the Kitchen Sisters, Davia Nelson and Nikki Silva.
In our last episode, we began to tell the story of a Memphis radio station called WHER, the first all-girl radio station in the nation. WHER was started in 1955 by Sam Phillips, the man who created Sun Records, and first recorded Elvis Presley, Howlin' Wolf, Johnny Cash, Roy Orbison. The list goes on and on. In the early days of WHER, most of the women who were hired had no experience in broadcasting. In fact, there were almost no women in broadcasting at that time. Sam Phillips hired telephone operators, models, beauty queens, actresses. Some were young mothers who just needed a job. The station in those early days was located in the third Holiday Inn in the nation. It was a tiny little place, pink and plush, decorated with nylon stockings, undies, and other unmentionables hanging on a clothesline in the lobby. It was a novelty, an all-girl station, but not for long. In the course of producing this story, we found 20 of the women who worked at the station in its 17-year history. We also found the WHER record collection, thanks to WHER announcer Becky Phillips. The music throughout the story comes from that collection, a collection she preserved for over 40 years. Now, in honor of the station's 60th anniversary, we bring you part two of WHER, 1,000 Beautiful Watts, the first all-girl radio station in the nation.
Most people knew about WHER. It was all girl. We played pretty music. We had news on the hour. It wasn't a come in and powder your nose and brush your teeth and do your laundry type operation at all. It was very professional.
On October 29th, 1955, Memphis was introduced for the first time to a brand new idea in radio entertainment. The city's ninth radio station at that time was to have an all-girl announcing staff. This was definitely a first for Memphis, and not only for Memphis.
I'm Dean Duvall, the sales manager for WHER from 1962 until 1968. It wasn't hard to sell WHER. The spots were not expensive at all. It was extremely reasonable, like our salaries. The car wash people that had the first big automatic car wash was a good account. Johnny Arnold gave us the dog track. When the dogs would be running, they would name a race for us, WHER race. And we'd, of course, go to the track and bet on our dogs.
It's 88 degrees in Memphis. Time for WHER's weather vane, a complete summary of Memphis area weather. Dew point 63.
When it first started out, it was more on the little bit lighter side, more geared to the women.
The look of loveliness. What makes a woman lovely? Her soft smile, her understanding way.
Keeping your home and about children and beautiful music and relaxation and fashions. The very light, fluffy things.
Maybe you'll choose a poodle cut that never needs setting, or the natural bob. Or maybe you'll go modern with the shag or breeze cut.
And then little by little, we'd add different things to it to kind of beef it up a little bit, you know.
Good morning. This is Donna Bartlett and the Monday Morning DB Show. At 7:30 this morning, Paul Harvey News and Commentary, followed by famous columnist Art Buchwald with his amusing comments. Right now, a serious note. There are 6.5 million alcoholics in the United States. Insurance companies will tell you that the lifespan...
In 1965, we moved into the Mid-City building. That time, it was the most glamorous, beautiful place. So very feminine. It was first class all the way.
In the news station, I had the prettiest office in Memphis, Tennessee. Silk wallpaper, and it was so pretty, and I had white French furniture.
Decor by Denise. Dean Duval, she was very famous for her hats, so I made it the head of Hopper sales office.
The hat. That's kind of the way I was known around Memphis. And I worked with my maiden name, which was Duval. I kept changing husbands, so, you know, I had to have a name I could stick with.
The lobby had a mirror about 8 feet tall. In the middle, it said, Beauty Reflected in Sound, WATR 1430. And we used that as sort of a theme. Doors and everything all had little whimsical things that had to do with women's little peccadillos.
We built it where people could come into the lobby of the Mid-City building, and they could stand and watch all the girls broadcast. And you could just see so well the girls doing their thing, and the speaker would be out there where they could hear them.
Soft lights. And, of course, the control room was glassed in. There was a big glass cage where we sat.
This is WHER 1430 on your dial with studios in the beautiful Mid-City building, Memphis.
Dottie Abbott, now Holiday Inn's nighttime sweetheart Dolly Holiday, was WHER's first manager.
Dottie Abbott was the first woman that I had ever known in an executive position like that. But she wanted to move on to do other things. And they hired a man to take her place. And I thought, an all-girl radio station really should have a woman as an executive. I'm sure it was very difficult to find women of the caliber of Dottie. I don't think there were very many in the South in those days that had both the experience that she had in radio and then also had the executive abilities.
It was fascination, I know.
Dottie Abbott was also Dolly Holiday, named after Holiday Inn.
It might have ended right then at the start.
She also sang. They played her songs. It was an album. It was put out by Holiday Inn, and they were playing to the truckers.
She'd make them think that she was making love to them right over that radio line. At this time, it was probably 30 Holiday Inns around the country, and she'd say where they are and how great they were.
It was fascination, I know.
Kimmons Wilson, founder of Holiday Inns.
I'm Nina Sally. I was on the air at WHER 65, 66. Dottie called me and asked me if I wanted to go to work. She said, when can you start? And I said, well, how much do you pay? It was such a little. I said, Dottie, I can't work for that. I can't pay a babysitter. I would come out in the hole. So I just turned it down. And that stuck in her mind. A couple of years later, she called and said that she had changed her name to Dolly Holiday. And she was doing this all night show, and she said, I need a good copywriter. But she said, I'll pay you the same thing as the girls at WHER, but you won't have to pay a babysitter. And I'd pick up a batch of stuff and then take it home, write all the copy. And a couple of years of that, my daughter started school, and I thought, I want to get out of the house and be with adults. I don't want to sit home and write by myself. By that time, Charlie Sullivan had taken over as manager of WHER. So I decided, I'm going to go and talk to Charlie. Because then I figured, well, I could work there for peanuts because I didn't have to pay a babysitter anymore.
Mr. Charlie Sullivan, the general manager of WHER, is the man in the life of all the WHER girls. He handles his 8 girl announcing staff beautifully.
The girls, always for the most part, are really sweet, cooperative, and hard workers, of course. Like all performers, some of the girls have their temperamental moments, but they wouldn't be good air personalities if they didn't try for perfection, which most of them do achieve. Our WHER disc jockeys, as we like to call them, are in constant demand to make personal appearances, such as being mistresses of ceremonies.
I remember riding an ostrich once in some sort of promotion. I forgot what was opening, a speedway or something. I didn't win. You can't drive an ostrich. It's just, you sort of hold on.
Then there's the natural happenstance of the married girls getting in a family way, a problem which you don't run into in most all mail stations. If you'll just pardon the pun, the WHER girls really shape up the station.
9 minutes before, no, 11 minutes before 8 o'clock.
Everybody had a favorite song. You could tell if somebody had had a fuss with their sweetheart or even with their husband by the music they played.
Now you say you're lonely. Said you cried the whole night through. Well, you can cry me a river. Cry me a river. 'Cause I cried a river over you.
Stand by for another golf report from Peggy Sternberger coming up in a moment.
Sometimes we do remote broadcasts. Like, we always broadcast the golf matches. Peggy Sternberg was a well-known woman's golfer, and she was a really good commentator. And, of course, that was something, I don't know why, it seemed womanly. So we could get big sponsors for the golf matches.
Peggy Sternberger.
At this point now, in the 36th hole of the Westchester Classic.
Peggy was one of the real pioneers in women sportscasting. She would cover all the major tournaments, the only woman who was covering all the major tournaments. So she was a groundbreaker, and eventually, from WHER, she went ahead and did some stuff for CBS for golf.
Congratulations, Larry, on a very fine round.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say. You're riding high in April, shot down in May. But I know I'm gonna change that tune. When I'm back on top in June.
And then they let us do a trade out to the beautiful shop. Remember that? We'd go get our hair all done real pretty and pedicures. Oh, I love that.
Charlie and Dean worked out a trade out with this very exclusive beauty parlor. I mean, these people were good. And we could go and do anything. We could go and get it done because it was a pure trade out. I don't know what kind of a bill we must have run up every month, because most of the girls at one time or another had bleached hair, you know, and you had to get your hair trimmed and bleached every couple of 3 weeks.
The latest air pollution index in Memphis is 1.02. This is classified as moderate by the Shelby County Health Department. This has been the latest WHER worldwide and local news. Joan Medley reporting.
Stay tuned to WHER for all the news as it happens.
The sound that we were projecting had very little to do with news, although we read news twice an hour. It was kind of a surface approach until March. March made us newsworthy.
and good afternoon to you. My name is Marge Thrasher, and I'm your listener and moderator. From now until 2 o'clock, as WHER Radio turns our microphones over to you, the listeners.
Charlie Sullivan called me to do this talk show. He said, Meg, I got just the thing for you. You don't want to stay home with those kids anymore. Anyway, I went on the air and had never heard a talk show. Nobody had talk radio. KDKA in Pittsburgh. And that was it. As far as I know, it was called Open Mic. You were on the air in a big glassed-in window, and everybody in town was listening.
Before we talk to our guests, we would like to review our rules and regulations for Open Mic. Open Mic is operated with a 7-second delay in case we do need to delete portions of conversation or comment.
See, nobody knew what to do with talk radio, especially me. I mean, I never even heard a show. I said, Charlie, what makes you think somebody's going to call?
Are you there? Can you hear?
And he said, no, they'll call.
Oh, and I'm not getting any conversation.
Hello?
Can you push the last button all the way down?
Hello?
That's it. That puts you in contact with us.
This is WHER 1430 on your dial, the studios in the beautiful mid-city building, Memphis.
This is Ray Sherman, United Press International in Memphis. 1,000 striking sanitation workers marched on Memphis City Hall this afternoon and demanded Mayor Henry Loeb hear their grievances.
I urge you to go to work. I promise you that we're working on a raise and have been before this matter came up.
Dr. Martin Luther King urged the Memphis Negro community to engage in a general work stoppage.
I'm Jane Rodak, WHER. There was a garbage strike. Tempers were running high. People that weren't involved in it were angry that we were having all this garbage all over and nobody was collecting the garbage. Garbage workers trying to get fair compensation. It was just a very volatile time.
Tomorrow, the strike moves into the third day, and the mayor is expected to take emergency action.
All labor has dignity. You are reminding the nation that it is a crime for people to live in this rich nation and receive starvation wage.
King promised to return to Memphis Friday to lead a general work stoppage.
Memphis had this story about itself that everything was separate, but it was equal. And when that spotlight got turned on the segregated city that Memphis was, it was obvious it wasn't equal at all.
Pilot said over the public address system, we are sorry for the delay, but we have Dr. Martin Luther King on the plane. And to be sure that nothing would be wrong on the plane, and we've had the plane protected and guarded all night. And then I got into Memphis, and some began to say the threats. I talk about the threats that were out. What would happen to me from some of our sick white brothers? Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now.
I remember standing at the news machine and watching the news tap out that Martin Luther King had just been shot.
Like anybody, I would like to live.
Marge was on the air, and I took her the paper, and I could not talk and tell her what I had in my hands. I couldn't talk.
I just want to do God's will.
He was killed in the late afternoon. I was on the air, and they chose Open Mic because of a big listening audience to pay respects. I can remember reading the prepared statement, then played a Mahalia Jackson hymn, and then I said, now we'll take calls.
Oh.
I said, good afternoon. This is Open Mic. And it was a lady. And she said, are you a nigger or a nigger lover? And hung up the phone. I thought, what? I was stunned. Charlie Sullivan was stunned. We had nothing on the air. I mean, this is dead silence. And I got up and walked out.
The police department and 10
they attempted to turn one of the squad cars over.
On the way home, I saw people standing on the corner with shotguns. I'd never seen it before.
Mace was used, which is a chemical gas.
We were downtown Midtown, WHER. And there was a curfew in the city. They didn't want you driving, so they put me up at the Holiday Inn across the street from the studio. And I remember looking out at my window and seeing tanks driving down Union Avenue.
If you're listening to Jane on your all-girl station, 6 minutes before 1 o'clock.
People started burning things and throwing things, and marches were happening, and marches had been happening, you know, peaceful, you know, demonstration marches, but these were angry marches. And Charlie would give us our little tape recorder and say, they're going to have a march on Bill Street this afternoon. Will you go and get a news report? And, of course, we all wanted to go.
We were on the air when people were calling to get interviews, you know, to find out what was going on. Of course, they chose us last because we didn't have any guys, you know, it was all women.
We were not known to be sharp broadcasters. We were lady disc jockeys. But even our station started having calls from all over the world. I'll never forget being on the air and some station in Australia calling me and wanting a report at that moment. So I ad-libbed a report.
After that happened, we had a daily topic because Charlie felt like it was risky to let people call up and vent their hatred from both sides, blacks and whites.
What I was wondering was, in a way that the black people could participate in your program?
Oh, yes, ma'am. We have many, many black people that participate in our program at this time. People who have a handicap.
The talk show was something that made a difference in this town. In the meantime, all around the talk show, we were still playing Ray Conniff. There were little dollops of political awareness wedged in between that.
And now the latest WHER worldwide and local news. The North Vietnamese and the Viet Cong have made their boldest strike of the Cambodian War.
Jackie Kelly, WHER from 67 to about 69. The president of the local chapter of National Organization for Women was Marion Kaiser McGinnis, who had worked on the station. She called me up one day and gave me a lot of trouble because the public service announcement started out, Mr. Employer. And see, I didn't think anything about that at that time because Mr. Employer was pretty much what was out there.
Do you have an interest in radio or television broadcasting? If you have a normal voice and a genuine interest...
I think they figured the novelty was going to wear off. America's first all-girl station was interesting when there were no women in broadcasting, but there were beginning to be women in broadcasting. Plus, we were playing music that the demographics didn't support. They were supporting a younger sound.
W.
H.
E.
R.
Everything changed. There were suddenly men at the station. They paired me with a gentleman named Dick Potter, and I played the fool, and he was the intellectual one.
All right, you ready?
Uh-huh.
This is for Elephant Stew.
Oh, come on, Dick. I thought you were serious.
As the women's movement came on and got strong and everything, WHER, they changed the call letters, put men on the air. I thought, well, isn't that strange? Here we are, women doing it, have been. Now they're going. There's no more of that. And then they called it We Radio, WWEE.
The mirrors came off, the little lipsticks came off, the pink was painted to a different color.
I'm Sylvia. I was the engineer for Dick and Jane. I never thought of working at WHER as being something historical. Yes, it was the first all-girl radio station. Yeah, I made a little history. I was the first African-American woman to work there. But you never think you're part of history.
This is Becky Phillips speaking for WHER owners, Mr. Sam Phillips and Mr. Kimmons Wilson.
I'm thinking back, did I ever meet Sam the whole time I worked there? Sam Phillips was always the great mystery man. He was always listening to the station. He might not have been there, but he knew what was going on.
And all the girls here at the station, Lucy Bayless, Pam Bingham, Colleen Miliera.
There was just something special in the air when WHER was on the air. And there was something special about being inside of that radio station, too, when it was taking place. And it was not, I'm telling you, it was not a novelty. Very long. It was a novel idea. I mean, you know, WHER was an embryo of the egg because there wasn't anything else like it in the world.
This is WHER Radio, America's first all-girl radio station, Memphis, Tennessee. We cordially invite you to stay tuned to WHER Radio all day, every day, for sparkling, bright music, the latest worldwide news, and up-to-the-minute local...
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I've managed to make it almost all the way through this program without doing any announcing here. Yes, this is homemade, homegrown radio with a microphone that is dying and severely messed up. All right, that was Lloyd McNeil with a tune called Griot here at Radio Thrift Shop. This has been program number 578. And remember, wherever you are on the planet, take good care of yourself, take good care of your community, and take good care of your local community radio station.